We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Meet the whole company, the entire cast of My Music. John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, Dennis Norden. While beside me is my favourite mathematical Ms. Leonie Lawson. They are greatly loved. Not this lot. I'm referring to the King's singers. Here, on record, to sing some Noel Coward songs. John, your turn to answer the first question, and I warn you, the question is about the lyrics.
In tropical climes and southern times of day, when all the citizens retire to take their clothes off and perspire, it's one of those rules that the greatest fools obey. Because the sun is much too sultry and one must avoid his
sultry violet
rays. Papalaka, 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 boo. Papalaka, 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 boo. Digga, 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 doo. Digga, 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 doo. The natives grieve and the white men leave their huts. Because they're obviously, definitely...
John, what happens at noon in Rangoon?
At Rangoon, they fire a maroon and...
No, wait a minute. They put something down.
Something Malay rabbit...
No.
...caused this foolish habit.
No, you're ahead of
it. In Hong Kong, they strike a gong and fire...
...off noonday gun.
To reprimand each...
In Rangoon, the natives swoon, foam at the mouth and run.
You've done just about every other line in the song. In Rangoon, they put their scotch... You don't know, do you? They put their scotch or rye down and lie down.
Oh, is
that
business?
What they do in Rangoon. Frank, see if you can get a mark from more of the same song.
Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. The smallest merely rabbit to cause his stupid habit.
Right, Frank, what do they do in Hong Kong?
Ha!
You see, bide your time and it comes round, doesn't it? In Hong Kong,
they beat a gong.
Or strike a gong.
And fire off a noonday gun.
Why?
Because mad dogs...
No, to reprimand
each inmate who's
inlate. Yes.
I may
gentlemen,
that a few weeks ago I was in Hong Kong and they allowed me to fire that gun off. Noel Coward, yes. Miss England, and me.
Which way was it pointing?
Out to sea.
Yes. Ian, a change of song.
Stately homes of England, how beautiful they stand. To prove the upper classes are still the upper hand.
Though the fact that they have to be rebuilt and frequently mortgaged to the hilt is inclined to take the guilt
of the gingerbread
and certainly damps the fun of the eldest son.
Ian, which artist's work has to be sold? And, whisper the name, who made the piano?
Perhaps
Dennis can help you.
It's
what if
it's the Van Dycks
have to go, and we?
Oh, it's you said whisper the name. It will better be a Bech Steinway daughter.
Yes, we pawned the Bech Steingram. Yes, you got the mark. Dennis, for you, another Noel Coward song.
She said, I've seen too many movies and all the groovies, too idiotic. They all insist that South America's exotic, whereas it couldn't be more boring if it tried.
She added firmly that she hated...
Hated what, Dennis?
Hated Southern Lagoon.
The sound of...
Something and Southern Lagoon.
Yes, nearly. She hated the sound of soft guitars... Beside a still lagoon. Well, you can get your mark by telling me who she was and which song she
was Nina from Argentina. Yes,
and which and song? Which song did she implore them not to do?
It's not to do. Begin when they requested it, she would make an embarrassing scene if somebody suggested it. She detested it.
Nina from Argentina.
Wouldn't Noel Coward have loved that King's version?
Yes.
King's singer version of his song.
Indeed, yes, that's right. Let's get a bit technical now. John, if you had a harmonia with your dinner, what would be the result?
Harmonia with my dinner?
Yes.
I suppose I'd probably go to the flames if I was anything like Don Giovanni. Because he had a wind band or harmony.
Ah, that's it, yes.
And he went down to hell immediately afterwards.
Yes, that's right. Music with your meal, played by a small wind band.
Yes.
Quite right. Frank, listen to this. The oboist Nicholas Daniel has two, whereas the clarinetist Gervaise de Paille has only one, with which he manages quite well. The flautist Elena Duran hasn't got one at all. One what?
Reed.
Absolutely right. Yes, that's right. Yes, Nicholas Daniel has an oboe with a double reed. Clarinetist Gervaise de Paille has one reed. There's no reed in a flute. Ian, which instrument can play the lower note, a bassoon or a cello? Think about them.
Well,
this
can only be guesswork on my part, but I would have thought from sort of oral observation over the years that if I had to award the prize for the lowest note, I think I would give it to the bassoon.
You'd be right. By one full tone, he can get down to a B-flat. The cello can go to the C, just below that, below the bass.
Easy there. Mnemonic. Bassoon, B, cello, C.
Hmm. That's true, isn't it? Never thought of that.
Well,
Dennis. Dennis, which instrument?
Harp H.
you're actually right, because it is a C-flat, or H, in German.
Yeah. It's getting very high flown. Let's bring it down to earth again.
Can I have a mark?
Dennis, which instrument can go higher, a trombone or Ian's singing voice?
I would back Ian. I never knew, really, I've been close to singing until this program, when you sit next to a real singer, and it is a tremendous experience. It's ever so loud when you're right next to it. And so I never look at him for fear I'll put him off. And suddenly I will hear him, this falsetto, come from next to me on some songs. Well, and he goes pretty high.
Yes, he does. I'm not permitting a falsetto. I'm going to play you a record of a trombonist, Don Lusher, playing three notes. And then I want Ian to sing the same three notes after that. Ian, just full voice, not falsetto. Okay. Here's the trombone first.
What is it that
Chicken.
American presidents say, I concede?
You see? The trombone goes higher, doesn't it?
I think I might, as they say, do myself a mischief if I attempt that last one.
Dennis is very lucky he doesn't sit next to a trombone player. The trouble with the trombone player is he could turn round to look at you, couldn't he?
But even though Dennis doesn't look at me when I'm singing, I am conscious of great moral support. And occasionally, when he can tell from having listened to me singing for a fairly long time now, that there's just a possibility that I might be going to sing a top note at the end of something, which could be a little unwise. Under the breath, he will say, go on, do it. And I usually do under those circumstances.
Well, I think the trombone got higher than... So he hasn't.
Oh, yes, the trombone won that one.
Right.
And what a marvellous player.
Yes, Don Lusher, indeed. Turning for the moment to the piano, John, I'm going to play you the first line or two of a Victorian ballad, but not in the musical setting that everybody knows. The words are dreadfully familiar. What's the title?
No idea.
That's
any clues?
Da 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 dee, da 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 da. Ian's got
it. Seated One Day at the Organ.
It's The Lost Chord, music by Frank Romer, not Sullivan. Seated One Day at the Organ, I was weary and ill at ease. That's
good.
The setting. So you haven't got the mark. But Frank, who wrote the words of The Lost Chord?
The lady.
Yes.
First half of the 19th century.
Yes. Daughter of Barry Cornwall.
Was she?
Yes. Whose name was Brian Waller Proctor. Do you know her name?
Adelaide Anne.
He's got it, I think. Adelaide Anne Proctor. Yes.
Oh, you can't imagine a lady who wrote poetry in the beginning of the 19th century called Adelaide Anne Proctor being flat-chested, can you? She must... Just a comment. She must have had... Imagine those... Not a bazoom, but a kind of bolster. I introduce Adelaide Ann Proctor, and she's sailing, wouldn't you?
I think you got half a mark for that. I think not half a mark for that. Ian, as we all know, Sullivan's setting of The Lost Chord was the more successful, this one.
I was weary of him at ease.
So, Ian, which was the greatest of Sullivan's hymn tunes, or at any rate the best known?
Oh, dear.
Audience knows, I can hear it.
He did a setting of Rock of Ages, although I don't think it was the famous one.
No, and not the best.
Can I redeem myself?
Yes, go on, you get it from your
Onward
side.
Christian Soldiers.
Oh, yes, that's right, Onward Christian Soldiers. I don't know what's happening to the marking, that's up to Lady. Yes, Sullivan wrote the tune of Onward Christian Soldiers.
I never thought of him as a rock composer.
Dennis, the author of the words of Onward Christian Soldiers, also wrote The Penny Come Quicks. He lived from 1834 right through till 1924. Do you know his name?
No. I mean, I could spin it out, but the answer is no.
No, no. Well, a hyphenated surname, first name, what can I say about his first name, an unusual first name, some of his women featured in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Sabine. There's a Sabine Baring Gould.
There's your half mark.
Oh, yes, that's
who it was. He wrote the words of Onward Christian Soldiers. Sabine Baring Gould. Yes.
Could I have a half mark bonus if I tell you who wrote the lyrics of Land of Hope and Glory?
If you can remember which of the brothers it was, yes.
It was A.C.
Yes.
A.C. Benson.
As opposed to E.F.
Benson, yes.
It was a supporter of ours in Christchurch, Dorset, Ted Bloomfield by name, who got us talking some time ago now about whether altitude affects the human singing voice, whether the best singers come from mountainous regions. He's asking now about build. Think of Melchior, Pavarotti, Seacombe, tenors, enormous men. There seems to be a clear relationship between a fine voice and a massive frame, as with Chaliapin or Paul Robeson. Ted's question, then, to you
present
is,
company.
Can you think... Well, I mean, Ian is moderately solid. Can you think of a magnificent but slight singer?
Lily Pons.
Was? I wouldn't remember, really.
Very, very slim. Yes.
Very, very slim, yes.
Tiny.
Any other nominations, male or female?
I was going to say...
Felicity Lott.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Lulu.
Frank Sinatra. Well, you know, the early Frank Sinatra, they used to do all the things about, you know, he could...
In the concave chest days.
Yes.
Sammy Davis Jr., except he mucks around with lovely melodies, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nothing to do with his build, is it? But, yes, a very, very tiny figure indeed.
Very slight.
There was...
Pardon?
June Bronhill.
June Bronhill, yes, small. Yeah. Gwen Catley, Piaf. Oh, we're getting on well, aren't we? Getting on famously. Any advance on Piaf?
In the opera, of course, tenor... Murray Dickey, who was Scots tenor, who was in the Vienna State Opera for many years, was very slight at the earlier part of his career. He got a little more en bon point
as the time. Well, there you are, Mr. Bloomfield.
Interested in your description of me as moderately solid. I would settle for that, because usually the tailor looks at me and says, portly. Which is one of the most euphemistic words in the
world. You're naughty and you're comfy, aren't you? That's
thank you, comfy. Thank you. I'll settle for that too.
Something magnificent now, though very far from complete, unhappily. John, this is how it begins. What is it? Start.
Tosca.
Yes.
Puccini.
Puccini's
opera.
Tosca, that's right.
Wonderful opening.
Yes, indeed. Yes, absolutely commands attention right from the start. Heaven protect anybody who comes in late and misses that. Frank, in Act Two, Tosca sings a famous aria called Visidate. What, in essence, is she saying here?
Oh,
lovely singing, Katia Ricciarelli, and I think John's given you an idea of what it is she's singing about.
I thought she was probably singing, "It's dragging a bit, could you pick the tempo up?"
I think that's what the conductor was singing in that case. No, a better idea than that.
She's philosophical yes. about life and love.
She is indeed. I have lived for art and love always. I've offered prayers at the holy shrines and so on. Yes. Ian, Act 3 begins. That point, Ian, where are we?
Well, we're in the sort of terrace of the terrazzo of the Castello Sant'Angelo in Rome. Hearing that music reminds me of a very frightening experience I once had playing in that opera, singing the part that finishes at the end of Act One, the sacristan, and it was very near the beginning of my career at the Cambridge Theatre in London, and I had come into the theatre that night and was getting all ready to sing Dr. Bartolo in The Barber of Seville, and I'd got on a bald wig and a sort of upturned nose and all the rest, getting gradually ready for this. And you have a bit of time. Dr. Bartolo has a bit of time in the barber, because there's the overture and quite a bit. But the bit of music we heard at the beginning of that round in Tosca, that's all the overture there is, and the thing starts. And the tannoy into the dressing room came on and said, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The cast for Tosca tonight is Cavaradossi, Antonio Salvarezza, sacristan, Ian Wallace." And I look at myself as Dr. Bartolo in the mirror in wild surmise, and I know I have got about 5 minutes before that. Tom, Tim, Tom, Tim, I'm on. And I'm putting the nose down and putting a red wig on and putting red in the cheeks and getting on my cassock and everything and flying down those stairs. Very, very nearly missed it. So whenever I hear that music, I sort of think...
Always look at the posters on your way into the theatre. See what the hell you're doing that night.
But that music is when we're about to hear the Cavaradossi, who is imprisoned, and he's just about to sing his beautiful aria to Tosca, when the stars are brightly shining.
Shining, yes.
I was actually at Covent Garden one evening. It's happened, I think, several times. Tosca has to fling herself over the parapet. And this was a woman who was a replacement. And she obviously hadn't seen what was happening backstage, and she bounced back into sight. And the poor dear actually sprained her ankle doing it. But, I mean, it's not the only case of that happening. Yeah. The bouncing Tosca.
Dennis, we heard a horn call just now setting the scene. Soon after that, a boy enters. My question to you is, what is his job? I wonder if you can tell me.
It sounds like the milkman from All That. I've got an idea. He could be from the other opera house down the road and saying, "Have you got that nose? Because we're doing Barbara Seville tonight." I just had it on the best authority that he was a shepherd bug.
Handwriting.
Shepherd boy.
Handwriting for you. Yes, I thought the sheep bells might conceivably help you.
Yes, well.
Good enough. If we had a couple of hours, I'd play you the whole of that carry-on recording, but we must press
shepherd,
on.
Shepherd, keep those sheep bells quiet.
No, we have to press on, however trivial the next round. And I do mean trivial. From just a few words, see if you can name the song. John, what precedes the words, "To be HAPPY?
I want to be.
I want. No, no, it's something, something. You've got to. Something. To be HAPPY. Frank, can you help him?
You've got to be. STUPID or something. it's that sort of thing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's right.
Well, I'm THAT.
Yes. DENIS, can you tell them the answer?
It's SMILE.
Yes, you've got a SMILE to the HAPPY. No, not going to give any marks for that. Frank, just for a change, your line comes from a monologue, but it's one that has a piano accompaniment, so it takes its place in a musical quiz. Where Black Puddings is made. Which monologue?
It presumably Stanley Holloway.
Yes, that's right.
Is it the one about making Yorkshire pudding?
Well, no, because it's much more over to the east, to the west than that. No.
Is it the ferry?
Yes, that's right.
It's the Runcorn. Tuppence per person per trip.
Tuppence per person per trip. It's the one about the Runcorn ferry, yes. Ian, from a song, when she left the village, she was shy.
No, that.
Oh. I mixed this up with somebody. When she left the bridge, when she came back with a naughty little twinkle in her eye.
It's about her hair.
Yeah, and her golden hair was hanging down.
Her golden hair was hanging down her back. You got it in the end. Dennis, suddenly I see it all change.
I can hear that. Ziggy Elm, that's that folk tune, and the Angels Sing.
Yes, Ziggy Elm made a famous record of it with Benny Goodman. And the Angels Sing, that's right. Plenty of nostalgia in the four final songs today. In fact, in the case of Frank's song, I can't think of any good reason why the audience shouldn't join in and sing with him.
And drown him.
Yeah.
Is what
Oh, you beautiful doll.
Oh, you beautiful doll, you great big beautiful doll. Let me put my arms around you. I could never live. You beautiful one, you great big beautiful one. If you ever leave me, how my heart will ache. I want to hug you, and I fear you'd break. Oh, 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 you beautiful one.
I'd like to thank my backing group there.
I don't think you'll be doing a sing-along with John's song, but I may be wrong. It comes from La Molinara by Pace Yello, otherwise known as L'Amor Contrastato. And if you heard its first performance, you're over 200 years old and carrying your years very well.
Beethoven wrote some variations on this tune. Yes. They may know that.
Well, we have the original, don't we?
Yeah, we have the original.
Nel copio non mi sento, brilla la gioventù, cagion del mio tormento, mossa e colpa tu, mi pizzichi, mi stuzzichi, mi pungi, mi mastichi, che cosa questo è me? Pietà, 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 amore incerto che ti spera mi fa.
Two centuries after Pice Yello composed that, Messrs. De Silva, Brown and Henderson wrote a song that they might almost have intended for Dennis Norton.
I wonder how I look when I'm asleep. I ponder, visitarte, how do I look when I'm in slumber deep? Oh, tell me, oh, tell me, oh, tell me, if Garbo saw me, would she take the leap? I'm almost off my nut, just from keeping one eye shut, to find out how I look when I'm asleep.
In 1927, and it took all those years to revive it again. It's left to Ian to bring a touch of closing sanity to our programme, sanity and sentiment. In fact, I can just see the beaming smile of delight on senior faces as Ian sings this song.
Beautiful garden of roses, kissed by the golden dew. Each pretty flower discloses virtues I find in you. White means your soul so pure, dear. Red is your love most true. You are my garden of beautiful roses, my own rose, my one rose, that's you.
Beautiful garden of roses, lovely singing too. Not as always, though, as sometimes, we have this week a draw. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the programme was produced by Tony Schreiber.